Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 353. Worry is a waste. So, at that place where I gotta listen again just to make sure I kind of remember exactly what I talk about in the podcast. But I know what the main point of this one was, and I know going into recording it, I didn't want it to sound, you know, angry, defensive like that. You know, it's not my intention or to offend anyone that's listening. So there's part of me going, okay, I know I talk about that, but let me just listen a little bit. And back my mind was like, let me just make sure, it's like a week later, that it doesn't sound, you know, like that at all. And I think this is maybe the third or fourth time now that I'm going to listen for a little bit to my podcast. And I start with quotes. So I'm kind of fast forward a little bit. And then I kind of get into where I'm, you know, talking about, you know, stories. So I listen. And I just don't think I've ever said this before. Like, I know I've kind of hinted around at it and said, wow, by the way, hey, I just listened to my podcast. I kind of started out in the very beginning editing them. And I would go back and cut pauses out. But I just remember, like, hating. Like, I already said this stuff. Now I got to listen to my voice again. And I didn't not like my voice. I just didn't want to listen again. Because it seems like I just played it in my head. So I didn't want to play it again. So I went 3 years without ever listening to a podcast after I recorded it. Didn't edit anymore. Was just like, there it is. Keeping it real, yo. And I started listening. And it was the same kind of feelings before, where I was like, you know, I like how my voice sounds. You know, I know when I hear a voice and it kind of rubs me the wrong way. And I was listening. And I'm like, okay, you know, voice doesn't bother you. That's cool. And I started talking, and, you know, there was flow to it. And I just sat here watching my screensaver. You know, my screensaver, listening to my podcast. I don't listen to podcasts at all. Like I said, in 5 years, in the last 4 years, I've listened to, I think, three or maybe four. But I just kept listening and listening. And I'm like, I concur. I liked how I came off. I go, I don't feel like I offended anybody. I'm like everything I agreed about. I liked it. And I was like, the closer it got to the end, I was like, I really liked that. I go, is that my best episode? And I don't really listen to a whole lot, but I really truly liked it. And this was kind of one I thought, oh, I don't want to, you know, be too opinionated, step on, you know, someone's toes, offend someone. You know, again, it's just not my intention with the whole pro-you thing. And it was, like I said, it was just kind of cool to go, wow, I'm going to, and I just press stop, press record. I'm like, okay, here's my intro. I just listened to my podcast. I really like it. But it's a good point, you know. And then at the end, I read this article about, you know, worry just being a waste. And I'm like, well, you know, this is a great opinion or vista or perspective, Tom, and here's someone else. So it's not just you. You know, you are saying the right things because you are on the right path. Again, sometimes it's unfamiliar. I haven't felt a lot of this stuff ever. So it's new to me. But as long as I'm stopping, pausing, reflecting, and to me, you know, I'm journaling, you know, I'm going to therapy, I'm doing all that through the podcast. As long as I maintain that, I will stay highly vigilant and aware. And boy, you can't be more pro you than that. And that is so much purple. There's no room for yellow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. You are appreciated. Enjoy. 1969, when black citizens were still not allowed to swim in community pools alongside white people, Mr. Rogers invited a black police officer on the show and asked him to join in and cool his feet in a small plastic pool, breaking a well-known color barrier. I mentioned before, I love that dude. The more I hear about Mr. Rogers, the more I dig him. Some periods of our growth are so confusing that we don't even recognize that growth is happening. We may feel hostile or angry or weepy or hysterical, or we may feel depressed. It would never occur to us unless we stumbled on a book or a person who explained to us that we were in fact in the process of change. Often the feeling is anything but pleasant, but what is most unpleasant is the not knowing what is happening. Those long periods when something inside ourselves seems to be waiting, holding its breath, unsure about what the next step should be, eventually become the periods we wait for, of actually becoming larger spiritually than we were before. Whenever we grow, we tend to feel it, as a young seed must feel the weight and inertia of the earth as it seeks to break out of its shell on its way to becoming a plant. For it is in those periods that we realize that we are being prepared for the next phase of our life, and that in all probability, a new level of personality is about to be revealed. Alice Walker. Your purpose is not what you do to make money. Your purpose is what you were put on this earth to do with such intensity and passion that it becomes a spiritual calling. The world isn't getting worse or darker. The veil sheltering you from reality is lifting. There's a sacred energy guiding you. That's why lately you've been distancing yourself from who and what no longer serves you and or lowers your vibration. Instead, you've begun attracting and manifesting who and what does serve you, elevate you, nourish you, and to inspire you to vibrate higher daily. Vibrate higher. Last one. This one made me smile. It was a quote I put out saying you're on the right path, and it had four criteria. And here was number three. The people in your inner circle are experiencing big wins. It can be hard to see your own progress in real time. However, when your tribe is winning, this is a sign that you are also winning. I love that. I love that. Been saying that word tribe for a long time. Based upon building a new vibe, you attract the new tribe. And, you know, March, April, May, here it is now June. More than once I've been on the podcast talking about clients and people I mentor and going, you know, they realize that they're handling this way better. They know that they're the best they've ever been. And when I read that quote, you know, if your tribe is winning, you're winning. I just went through the list, you know, so-and-so, best they've ever been. So-and-so, best they've ever been. Brand new client, 2 months in, best he's ever been. Hardwick, 15 years, best he's ever been. Everyone I'm in contact with, as a client, someone I'm mentoring, is the best they've ever been. I'm winning. Maybe that's the title. I'm winning. couple different things to chat about today. But that, like I said, that, you know, purple, purple, purple. You focus on it, it blows up. You focus on it more, it starts to glow. You can't keep your eyes off it. You fan that fire, you know, and pretty soon, simultaneously, you're just minimizing any yellow. And I felt great March, felt great April, May. And I, you know, kind of started saying, you know, talk to my clients and they're doing good and this and that. And it wasn't really like just, you know, boom, one line. If your tribe is winning, you are winning. And I was like, yeah, put that in my pocket. And that was a great pause, stop, reflect, and go, look, the people that you are personally connected to and helping guide, they're all the best they've ever been. My cup runneth over. So I mentioned a crazy Monday night here. And it spawned a bunch of things. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday night, totally quiet. You know, the riots were going on and happening. And then this Monday night, I think it was probably about a week ago now, heard a noise, looked out my window, and pretty soon, boom, bunch of cops, cop cars, five, like, teenager-ish kids getting arrested. And I just lay back down and foam rolled with Zen. And I mentioned that there's, like, eight people standing out in my little area so I could get a view of this. And I'm walking out there going, what is it? You know, you're not seeing people get arrested before, or are you just incredibly bored? So I knew that I was functioning a little different. I was responding a little bit different than a lot of people. You know, I'm not cooped up, not locked down, not in isolation. Not unemployed, you know, none of the bad stuff is affecting me personally. My life really hasn't changed, doing everything that I normally do and still the best I've ever been. So I posted the video, like, hey, look what happened outside my front door. And so I'm kind of entering this little bit of a gray area, because I don't know how this is really going to sound, but I started getting this, you know, stay safe comment. And I get it. People are nice, they're concerned, and they want to, you know, hey, wish you well. Nothing bad with that. But me, and the other title was defensive, sensitive, and angry. Because sometimes I'm like, am I that sensitive and defensive and angry? Or am I just thinking about stuff at another level or deeper? And I still don't know. And it just caused me this last week to just really go, you know, what am I looking at? What am I looking for? Why am I feeling this? Probably got really, really hypersensitive into analyzing what I was feeling and experiencing and why. And at the end, I really had to just go, okay, let it all go. No right, wrong, good, or bad. Just way to be looking. Because it was just a weird, like, looking at some stuff. I'm like, you're never going to get better. And that's still just jacked. And you can't control that. And now that's obvious that that's a huge flaw. And I'm like, I'm the best I've ever been. And I'm like, it's just a higher awareness that none of this stuff serves you. So it's almost like, I need to get that last 2% out. And in reality, you know, you've got like 50% of it out. Congrats. Like, that's amazing. That's why you feel so good. Don't get all stuck on, yeah, but I need to get that last part out. That little bit of anger, that little bit of sensitivity, a little bit of whatever it is you got going on, just be okay with it, because you are the best you've ever been. So coming from that, I was like, stay safe. Like I wasn't staying safe, or stay, like, I'm not down there. I'm not being arrested. The cops aren't shooting people. There's nothing going on. There's five kids getting arrested. Stay safe, Tom. Okay. Like, is that different than what I was doing before? I mean, I think I always stay safe. I'm crazy protective of Zen. I'm always, you know, walking around ready to defend myself, you know. And then I start thinking, like, There's just people that just don't know you. Like, they think that they know you, but they don't know you. And then there's people just throw up blanket things. I'm going to go online and say, stay safe to everybody. Great. That person's got a beautiful heart. And I'm not judging or critiquing that person. It was just my little situation. When I posted something, like, stay safe. And I was like, I always stay safe. But I mean, I just didn't get why seeing or feeling or experiencing something makes you think that you should caution Tom. And then it transcends into this whole thing when people are worried about me. I'm like, well, then you don't know me. Because if you knew me, you know I'm the best I've ever been. And I made it through some shit. There was that quote I read before. I made it through shit I never thought I would get through. I've lost people that I thought would always be in my life. Trust me when I say, with or without you, I'm good. And that sunk into me. Like, I didn't write that, but I'm like, that's exactly it. And I'm like, you know, with or without your concern, I'm good. With or without your worry, I'm good. With or without your well wishes, I'm good. Like, I'm like, there's nothing going on right now, May, June 2020, that even raised my blood pressure. I've been through some shit. I've been tested. I have been really, really, really afraid and really, really alone. And I got through all that pretty much by myself. I mean, there's not one friend or one family member I can think of. There's, you know, two therapists, a couple pastors, AA, churches, you know, a mixed bag of things. But it was really me. Like, I made it through all that. And there's a quote I love going in the end. I just found out I was strong enough to be alone. And I don't know very many people that are strong enough to be alone. I'm alone, except with Zan. But I was, you know, alone 2 years before I got Zan. And that's where my strength came. Zan was just icing on the top. I love me, love my life. Now I can celebrate it with the dog. So I'm walking the earth going, there's not anything that anybody should be worried about me about. And again, I'm like, well, you're just sensitive. You're just defensive. And I'm like, well, maybe that's it. So I see a dear friend, neighbor, Andrea, who I spoke about before, owned a dog named Rio that I fell in love with and passed away. And her and her husband got married recently. She's pregnant as of recent. They're building a new house, which is kind of like way delayed. And, you know, a lot. And then when I saw him, we were chatting. He goes, you know, all that and the pandemic and the riots. Like, there's lots of stuff going on. And it was just, you know, you don't bump into a bunch of people these days because everybody's kind of, you know, indoors locked in. And it was like 2 days later, but it was right after this Monday evening, and I saw Andrea, and I said, hey, pretty crazy thing last night. And she just sat down like she was carrying the weight of the world. And I said, what's wrong? And like, you know, like, I saw it, you know, people got arrested, nothing big deal. And she was like, and she just, well, here's my story. I said, what? She goes, there was one girl, it was like a little stoop, like maybe one step and then like the four doors into her apartment complex, like a little 3 foot but 5 foot area. And one girl had jumped in there and hid just behind this little bitty like foot wall so no one could see her. And Andrea and her husband realized she was out there and they could hear her, and they kind of started panicking, you know, kind of freaking out. And then they heard this girl call her mother, and then she started tapping on the door, and I was listening, going, oh my God, like, that's a whole different story experience than I had. Now, her husband, being a husband, we're not letting anyone in. I mean, there's COVID out there, you're pregnant, there's cops out, and we have no idea. We're not opening the door. And Andrea, pregnant recently, maternal instincts take over, and she's like, if that was my daughter. And she let her in. turned out to be a college student. She lived, or she's from Wisconsin, but now lives here, and she just got caught in this rush of people running, and she just kind of freaked out and started running, and next thing you know, people are getting arrested. So she was in Andrea's home for an hour and a half. So Andrea keeps talking. She goes, you know, so I was just, you know, playing these scenarios through my mind, like, you know, what if it was a black girl? You know, would I have let her in? And what if this or that? You know, like, she was really being, like, nitpicky about all these what ifs, like running different hypotheses. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I go, can I interrupt you? And she's like, yes. I go, last night is done, and you handled it perfectly. Marcus, you know, your husband was being a husband, and you were you. You happened to make the right call, and you saved this girl, and you did the right thing, and you took care of her, and it's done. Now, because that was emotionally, mentally, physically draining and scary, and it's nuts outside anyway, so you're already affected, now is not the time to think about what if, what might have happened, what could, like, done, pack it up, put it away. And I said, you should not feel great right now. You should feel tired. You should feel drained. But knowing you should feel like that, then you should be like, oh, okay, I really understand why I feel this way. And then stop all thinking. I go, do you want to be a good wife? You want to be a good mom or okay? She's like, I want to be a great mom. I said, okay, you want to be a great mom. So she told me like 2 weeks ago she was pregnant. I said, well, you got to be the best you. You know, if you carry around this weight that's not yours to carry, you're not going to be the best you. And the people that you really, really, truly love and care about who do serve you, you're not going to be able to give them the best you, and you kind of got to start thinking that way. Like, look, I have to be the best me. If I'm not the best me, I'm not good to anybody. So if I sit home, I go home, and I worry, and what if, until I'm a 4 out of 10, did I help the cause? Did I help the movement? Did I help the people next to me? Do I help the ones I love? So it's like regulating this thing. It's like, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying to be cold and not have empathy. But she demonstrated how big and beautiful and brave her heart was that night. Next day, done. Let it go. But I get it, though. She's got a big, beautiful heart. So she's like, wow, you know, what if it would have went different? What if I get all that. But that's where you have to jump in and go, stop. That's not helping me at all right now. Me taking on extra weight when I'm already drained and tired, that's not serving me. I need to be the best I can be. And it was like the following day, a couple things that I've been able to do physically I've never done in my life before. And I do the squat. I've been all the way down to where I'm kind of like relaxed, like my booty almost touching my heels, legs fully bent, and all the weight on my feet, and I'm just sitting there, and then I go all the way back up. I went up and down. Never have I been able to do that in my life. And it's a Wednesday, and then I'm foam rolling, and I'm thinking, you know, if someone asked me how I was today, I'd be like, well, I know I'm the best I am mentally and emotionally, and physically. You know, I mean, I just did something I've never been able to do. I would be like, this is the best I've ever felt. And spiritually, we don't even have to talk about it. Foam roller, got a client, it's Hardwick. And he gets on, he's, you know, in this place of, you know, hey, the riots are going on. There's, you know, a lot of this stuff was happening. He's like, hey, how are you doing? And I got, it's funny you should ask, Chris. And I just went off like, this is the best day of my life. And I couldn't believe how happy I was. And guess what? And I always kind of like preface, I'm like, you know, preface with after the fact, I kind of go, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. It's kind of like me going, look, I have less than everybody I know. And if I can do this well now, I'm just being an example. You should be able to, then if I can. And that's kind of what my point was to Chris. And then the moment we stopped, I said, hey, you know, you're in your gym and your home training with your trainer, and you just said your beautiful wife is in your driveway playing with your dog. Right now, you're dope, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, straight out of AA. How are you right now? Now, is there some things you can worry about? Sure. Worrying about those things that aren't in your control gonna serve you? No. We're gonna drain you. You want to stop and worry about all the things that are going on, not going to serve you. It's not going to help you at all. It's like, oh, what am I not supposed to think about anything? It's like, no. Just get it straight, okay? You need to figure out how you stay and maintain being the best you. You want to go protest. You want to, you know, go out and make signs. You want to petition, you want to make it, you know, whatever you want to do, yay. But as you do those things, you want to be a 4 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10, probably an 8 out of 10, so you have clarity and perspective. And when you walk into a room of people going, I want to participate, and you're a 4 out of 10, they might ask you to leave. So it's not getting involved and not participating. It's not having a blind eye. It's not keeping silent. It's just making sure that you kind of monitor your resources and you make sure that you have enough to give. Number one, to the people that are close to you. Because here she was outside walking alone the next morning just thinking. Just see her deteriorating. By the time we were done talking, she felt better. And an hour later, I texted her. I said, how you doing? She said, I'm better. Now, I'm tired. I'm drained. I feel blah, blah, blah. Yep. But you're not, you know, carrying around this weight right now. It does not serve you. And I don't know how great I did with that conversation. Because I was like, look, I like people. I'm just going to tell you right now, stop thinking that way. Yeah, but stop. There's no nothing. Stop. And I don't know if I'm always the gentlest, you know, but it's like if I'm going to kind of hint and kind of dabble, then, you know, maybe you might hear a little and maybe you might apply a little and it'll never sink in and you'll never have enough time in the rest of your life to get good at it. I want to, like, yell at people so they know it's important. It's like, I better do that now. I better stop thinking about that stuff that doesn't serve me now. Tom's pretty passionate about that. But if you did it, you would win. And you'd get it, and you'd see it, and you'd feel it. And you're like, you know what? When I maintain my focus, and I stay mindful, and I stay thankful, and I continue to strive for my balance, I'm the best me. And then everybody wins. Da-da-tsh. So this is this whole thing about people picking. You know, if you don't choose, it's choosing. If you don't do anything, if you don't change it, it's choosing. So if you allow your mind to run rampant, you are choosing it. You're not deeming yourself worthy. So the stay safe, I was like, you know, people are cool and whatever. But, you know, again, it kind of got in my head. And then, you know, seeing people like, okay, yep, there's a bunch to worry about, but I'm not really sure what that's going to, you know, do for you. You know, yay, right now, I'm like, well, that, you know, I've said it to the when I ran into Marcus Andrew, I'm like, look at you two, pregnant, building a house, newly married, like, you know, healthy, happy. I mean, if they're not focused on those things, that's the problem. Those things, those blessings should fill their cup. And that's how they get through all this other stuff they have no control over. Because if people say, this is what I'm worried about, it's just a statement that they are not the best them and that they really don't understand how to focus on that which serves them. So it's kind of like breaking it down. And I'm trying to kind of distance feeling because I'm going to share a story. Not one for ever saying names. But I don't know who listens. I really don't know who listens to my podcast and who doesn't. So if someone makes a comment to me, I'm like, well, if you think you know me, think that we're friends, then you would know how I'm doing. Or you're like, you know, I like Tom a lot, so I'm going to listen to his podcast. He shares a lot. I'm going to find out what's up with that dude. Then you know. So when one of my siblings said, I'm officially worried about you, it was just a statement to me that they just completely have no idea what's going on in my life, and nor do they care. Because if they cared about my life, they just would have listened to the podcast once. And if they listened to the podcast once, they would know how wonderful I'm doing. So to me, it was like, look, I don't really care about you enough to participate. I don't really want to be involved in your life, but I need you to call me right now. No, not gonna do that. And then it was not a sibling, but my mother. Two words, three times a year for 3 years. Happy birthday, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas. And I was like, okay. And this was are you sensitive? Are you defensive? Are you angry? What's the deal? I'm just looking. Why? Why are you doing that? Those two words. Like, are you going, oh, this is going to make his day. Wow, look at me. I never miss Thanksgiving, Christmas, or birthday. I am an awesome mother. I mean, is that what it's doing? Because it does nothing for me. 55 years you picked aside, and it was not mine. And at 51, it became apparently clear who was on my side, who was participating in my life, who wasn't participating in my life, and who wasn't on my side. And I was like, okay, I'm fine. I'm not mad. I don't hate you. But I'm going to do my thing now. You had your 50 years with me, 51. You never did different. That's enough time. I'm going to go do my thing now. Bye. So I blocked my sibling. Blocked my mother. Because I'm like, you saying words, one being worried, having no idea, and one just texting words with no meaning. I don't know what you think, you know. You know, it's like, this is what Tom needs. This is going to help Tom. You know, I know there's no benefit for me. And I'm not sure what the benefit is for y'all, but I'm just going to stop the whole thing. So here's the scenario, and like, things got mellow. I think yesterday was the biggest protest ever, and there was no cops, and there was no arrests made at all. Like, everything is just becoming like this beautiful thing. Everybody's like, wow, this is really worldwide, global, all races uniting, Black Lives Matter kind of thing, and it's just really becoming this cool place. You know, like, people, you can see it. Like, maybe, hopefully, this is where change happens. You know, someone posts like, oh, Black Lives Matter. It shouldn't be a debate. You know, it shouldn't be a discussion. Like, no, they just do. Yeah, all lives matter. It's not saying Black Lives Matter, so-and-so don't. It's just like Black Lives Matter, but it shouldn't be a debate. So, there are people that I went to high school with almost 40 years ago that I didn't talk to in high school. So in my mind, didn't know you then, definitely don't know you now, almost 40 years later. But Facebook, social media, you get people reaching out, cool, I will friend you. And then I guess that means that we're friends. This person reaches out saying, I'm not one to leave messages on social media. And then I was like, and here you are. And this person from Minnesota states that they're worried about me, and then they go on to share this little tidbit about this other person they're worried about. And that's the one that just stopped me. And I was like, okay, here's a podcast, and I'm going to share this. And I didn't know what it was going to be about. I had no other notes. It was just this one moment. And I'm like, You, I don't know you at all. Didn't know you 38 years ago. Don't know you now at all. And you're going, hey, don't normally do this, but I'm making a, you know, a special consideration just to let you know that I'm worried about you. I'm like, this baffled me. And then here's the other person that I'm worried about. I was like, and that's when I was like, okay, there's part of me that gets defensive going, you have no clue who I am. Because if you had any inkling of who I was, you know that like worrying about me almost pisses me off. And worrying about me just says that you have no idea who I am at all. But to be in Minnesota and worry about someone in California, who does that serve? Like if people are going, I'm going to tell Tom I'm worried, and then he's going to go, wow, that is the shield I needed for my battle today. Wrong. Doesn't do nothing for me. Nothing. I don't even go, oh, that's so nice. Because if I was a 4 out of 10, and take this down, you tell a 4 out of 10 that you're worried about them, that 4 out of 10 is going, oh my God, if they're worried about me, I should be worried about me. You propel that. It perpetuates. Hey, you should be afraid because I'm afraid. Okay. All right, I feel it. I can feel your fear, and now it's in me. All right, I got it. Great. Now I'm afraid. Mosher had a great line. He said, danger is real. Fear is not. Beautiful. Perfect. So if you see me on TV and you just go, hey, there's Tom throwing a brick through the window. Tom, stay safe. I'm worried about you. You see Tom running out of a broken window with shoeboxes? Tom, stay safe. Worried about you. I get it. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm foam rolling, playing with Zen in the Zen garden. I can't paint a more peaceful picture. And that wasn't just that night. I'm saying that's what I was doing when five people were being arrested below my apartment in Hollywood. Hey, Tom, how are you? Foam rolling. Imagine that. When you're worried about me, picture me foam rolling. Like, I got no worries. And then I thought, okay, this person is just definitely not in control of their thoughts at all. And if they are messaging me that they're worried about me, that just didn't pop into their head. Huh, you know what I just thought of? I should text message Tom in California and tell him. No, they were thinking about it. How long were they thinking about that? I'm worried about Tom. Maybe I should message him. I'm going to, you know what? I should just message Tom because there's another person I'm worried about. I should just send a message to Tom, let him know that I'm worried about him in Minnesota, and then share with him the other person that I'm worried about because that will... I mean, I kind of get how people think it might make them feel better because they're sharing it. But as soon as it enters your head and then is in your mouth and then you say it, you just flame that fire. Two wolves inside of you, good and bad. The bad is fear, anger, all the yucky stuff. You flame that. 2 + 2 = 4. Then you got the good wolf. Peace, contentment, thankfulness, gratitude. Flame that. Guess what happens? You know, to me, this is like easy stuff to see at my vantage point now. But I definitely know how hard it is. Like, I don't have any anger or, you know, there's nothing negative in anything I've said. You know, my response was like, wow, you kind of take that, you know, and then I break it down. I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't serve them. It doesn't serve me. It doesn't do me any good. Hey, Tom, why do you know I'm worried about you? There's nothing for me at all. There's no benefit in it for me. Nor is there any benefit for you. It's wanted you to know I was worried about you. All right, there's wasted time and energy. I'm worried about you and this other person. Okay, there's more wasted time and energy. And if you're wasting time and energy about me and then you're telling me about it and someone else, you're wasting more time and energy. Because you're not telling me all that you're worried about. You're just telling me that you're worried about me, which is a statement, waste of time and energy. See, it's the space between your ears, people. You don't have control of that. You don't have control of anything. You have control of that. You have control of everything. Write that down, Tom. You don't have control of the space between your ears. You don't have control over anything. You have control over the space between your ears. You have control over everything. Everything. Everything you need. See, that's a dope thing. You have X amount of time, resources, energy, all that. You're like, well, I only have it enough to apply it fully to like two or three things. Winner, winner, bingo. Because that's really all you have to control. But you just get to put all your time and energy into that. You win. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I'm controlling the things I control, which make me feel better. Now, the things being controlled are better because I'm focusing on them, staying mindful, and now they're better, so it makes me feel better. Simultaneously, I'm not wasting my time and energy. And now, fast forward, I'm getting better at that. So as the purple expands, the yellow diminishes. As the purple increases, the yellow decreases. As the purple gets louder, the yellow gets quieter. That's you going 7, 7, 5, 7, 8, 8, 8.2, 8.3. I cannot remember the last time I said, hey, I'm worried about you. Like, completely foreign. And I'm pretty sure that that person from Minnesota doesn't listen to my podcast. So, not too worried that they're going to hear this and be offended. But I would just tell them. I mean, if we were real friends, I'd be like, hey, you really don't need to be worried about me. And by the way, that's a very, very wasted emotion. It's a waste of time and energy. And and I would just go into it, and 10 minutes later, I'd be like, you're right. I feel better. Thanks, Tom. Come to my well by the water I sail. This is the quote, I think, that started it. It said, who checked on you today? Exactly. Continue to focus on yourself. And I had two or three people. Just checking in on you, Tom. And they could have been kind of half joking. Or like, wow, you know, I want Tom to know I care. Or, hey, you know, all kidding aside, this is just me reaching out, letting you know. And I'm like, you know, they all missed it. I ain't waiting for people to check on me. That wasn't my quote. I'm not asking you to check on me, and I definitely don't need anyone to check on me. Hence the focus on yourself part, because spin that. I have focused on myself because I'm not waiting for anyone to check on me. And that's a good place. That was the point. Not, hey, world sucks. It's rough. No one checks on you. So be lonely. It's like people kind of took it that way, I guess, because they're like, hey, just checking in on you, Tom. And I'm like, wow. And again, these probably, 99% of it could have been all good intention. But it's wasted on me because I'm psychoanalyzing everything right now, because that's what I've done. Walk the earth, have experiences, and I share the experiences. I got a podcast and it's helped me heal, so I'm going to keep doing it. And if I've, been efficient with my time and energy and feel better, that's what I'm going to share. That's what I'm going to sell. And when I see people, trying to connect with me, trying to, be a part of my journey, and they're wasting their time and energy, I'm going to point that out. It's like, well, you should just be thankful that these people checked in on you. I'm like, that's you. You can be thankful that people are worried about you. doesn't do anything for you, but you can be thankful for it. I'm thankful for real shit. All my tribe's winning. That's what I'm thankful for. It's choices. If you cannot discover through pro-you little things done consistently who you truly are, you'll never find balance. And if you never have balance, you're never going to really know where to put your focus. Like, what is it that you really, really want to maintain that balance, to stay the best you, to become a better you? And that's what I hit. I wrote this note saying, I like today. I liked me today. And it was the final day after about a week of really questioning some moments that I had. Because I met some really dumb people. And two, I had met twice. And the first time I was quiet, so this time I wasn't quiet. And I didn't like it. And I was just like, what do I do to not feel that? And see, that serves me. Because I'm going, there's just a little ripple in that Zen pond, and I think I can get rid of the ripple. Because I'm chilling in that Zen canoe, that Zen pond in that canoe. I'm just chilling there. And if there's a ripple that I can smooth, I'll do that. And then that's when I stopped going, look, you're looking deep. You know, you're like micromanaging. It's like, that's 8.5. When you're getting that specific, that detailed, with the little bitty things that don't serve you, that's next level. Yay, way to go. Well, the next day it was just Zen and I. You know, I'm not going to talk to anybody today. And I'm going to be quiet all day and I'm going to be thankful all day. I was like, that quote is like, you know, just sit in the emptiness and the stillness and the vastness and feel all that life in it. And I'm kind of able to do that. I'm like, there's no bad. I didn't get in the mud, you know, I didn't, you know, lose my temper where I had, you know, in the past, and I'm like, you know, I told some dumb people they were dumb, and I'm like, that's something I gotta work on, you know, not literally, but, you know, if you treat me and my dog a certain way, you get a reaction. You don't treat myself or my dog a certain way, you're going to get a different reaction. It's like you get A Tom or you get B Tom. And I don't choose. Now, I'm trying to make sure that the B Tom isn't out of control, isn't going nuts. But it's like if someone, you know what I mean? If you just step in, where you're like, well, now when you're in my space, and if you're going to say something about my dog, or you're going to be disrespectful, I'm going to point it out and I'm going to tell you. And then if you say something dumb after that, I'm going to say something louder. You know, just like that. And I'm like, okay. It's almost like, do you want to be right in the moment? Or do you just want to let the dumb people be dumb? So I'm like, okay, that's where I got to get now. Like, how do I position myself? Well, when I see those people, I don't see those people. And that's like, okay, there you go, Tom. That's the next level. You're feeling a little bit of a murmur and you're going, don't like it. You're like, wow. Like 90% of that bad is gone. And you're like, yeah, I need the last 2%. So that's what I got to feel good about. I know I'm all up in myself. I'm just working on me. And that's why the little, hey, be safe, stay safe, hope you're well, worried about you, are like, wow, that doesn't even enter my world. It's like that, like a shield. And it's like, tink. Just tink, what's that? Oh, someone was worried about me. Didn't even make it into the inner world where I exist. And I'd like to tell that person, hey, by the way, you're... And I'm like, if they knew me, they were participating, they would have listened to a podcast or one video that I've posted or a quote that I've posted, and they would be like, wow, one dude I don't have to worry about. You have X amount of time. You have X amount of energy. Don't waste it. It's just that simple. You wake up tomorrow and the big guy knocks on your door and says, come on. You're not going to go, oh, I need, you know, a little bit more time to stay on earth so I can worry. You just wouldn't. All right, this is from What She Say. That's exactly what it is. Practical help for women building better lives. I stumbled upon this and I'm like, well, it's got to be good for women. It's got to be good for everybody. They are the better sex. Yes. 9 anxiety relief hacks. Why worry is a waste of time and what to do instead. I know a lot about worrying. I used to be a chronic worrier. I come from a family of worriers, but worrying is not time well spent. And time is precious. Ba-dum-boom. Not only is worrying unproductive and a waste of time, it's based in negativity. See, this is my point. Tom, I'm really worried about you. Therefore, you should be worried about you. I mean, that's just negative to me. I just wanted to put a little damp, stinky wool cloth over your pro-you perspective. Nah. It's based in negativity. Imagined dangers and circumstances magnified out of proportion. It is counterproductive to any of your desires for and efforts towards building a better life. So rather than worrying, here's what you should do instead. 9 of them. Number 1, do your best and leave it there. Your best is the most anyone can ask of you or can require of yourself or yourself in any given situation. When you give your all, be content with it. Don't allow yourself to worry about what you cannot do. When making major decisions, limit yourself to 3 options that offer the most beneficial outcome. After reviewing the options you identified, then select the one you like the best and go for it. 3, release circumstances over which you have no control. You worrying over something you can do nothing about makes no sense. Tom, I'm worried about you. I'm in Minnesota. Fantastic. Everything's better now. Thank you. Don't subject yourself to unnecessary and pointless stress. Ba-dum. Boom. Don't subject yourself to unnecessary and pointless stress because you're worth it. 4, expect the unexpected. Life is full of changes, twists and turns, and the unexpected. Anticipate the unexpected. 20-year-old refrigerators stop working. Tires get flat. Car parts wear out. Roofs sometimes spring leaks. Prepare as best you can for events that are genuine possibilities or probabilities so that you aren't caught off guard when they happen. Then when something actually does happen, you are ready. You can deal with it and get on with your life. 5, visualize things going right. When we're experiencing important or critical life moments, we tend to search for, identify, and focus on all the things that could go wrong. Again, because that's what's familiar. Okay, this is typically when things go bad, so we run all those scenarios of bad because we've been through bad. We haven't been through. This was absolutely amazing. Train yourself to do the opposite. As a kid, you were curious, adventurous, and got excited about new things and new possibilities. Learn as an adult to visualize and focus on the good that come from a situation and pursue that. Realize that mistakes are part of life. They're inevitable. Embrace the idea that you will make mistakes. That's perfectly normal and okay. Don't worry about making them in the first place. 7, liberate yourself from OPP. As women, especially those of us who are mothers, we worry a lot about others, especially our children, no matter what their age. But our grown children, our BFFs, our significant others, even our coworkers, our adults, we can do nothing to solve their problems. Let me say that again. We can do nothing to solve their problems. And as harsh as it may seem, worrying about those problems doesn't help. See, I'm not the only one saying this. I'm just saying it as well. So don't take on other people's problems. Don't own anybody's drama. I love that quote. I heard that like 15 years ago. Don't own anyone else's drama. I would talk to my brother and get off the phone. And I would just like feel horrible the rest of the day. Be a supportive parent, a loving spouse, a good friend. That's your best contribution to whatever situation they may be dealing with. It's the kindest thing you can do for them, and it will help you to stay in a better place emotionally and in terms of your own health and well-being. 8, help someone who needs it. Sometimes excessively worrying about ourselves is a sign we're too self-focused. Thank you. Sometimes a fish doesn't know what's in water. helping or being a source of encouragement to others shifts our focus, takes our attention away from self and places where it can actually do good. Helping others also reminds us that we are not powerless. We are reminded we have something valuable to give. I wrote this quote saying, you know, if you can stop thinking about yourself, you're healing. If you can start thinking about others, you're on your way. And if you can do for others, you've healed. 9, trust God. Matthew 6:25-34. That's all it says. Two things I kind of like about that. One, that it just says trust God. Two, that it's on the list. I've read a bunch of articles from the internet. You know what I mean? On the podcast, I see something, look it up. I'm like, oh, here's 5 of this. Here's 10 of this. Here's that. No one's ever said God. So I was like, yeah, it's kind of cool just to see it. And I like that they didn't say anything else about it. I'm like, or not. And one thing I'll say about that, I don't talk about my faith a whole lot because that's my thing. I just talk about my stuff. But in AA, it was the place where they did not pound any sort of rules, religion, anything at all. But out of the 12 steps, number 2 was accept there was a higher power. So it was pretty much a thing. Like, not 12, 10, 2. So, if you're in AA, anyone that's successful knows if you don't have faith, you're not getting there. Faith in what? A higher power. That's it, though. There's not a lot of verbiage. You know, Catholicism was just right, wrong, typically wrong, and it's going to be bad and feel bad because it's going to get bad, was basically my experience. Christianity, a little different, but pretty soon it was still about people, places, and things. And I just walked away with going, look, this is about you and your personal relationship. This is about your faith, your belief, you and God. That's it. But in AA, you just had to say, I'm Tom, I'm an alcoholic. And number 2, accept there's a higher power. Step 2. Because if you didn't, come in and say, hey, you know, say your name, whatever. You know, I mean, it's kind of something you had to do. And if you didn't accept that there was a higher power, you were never going to be healed. You were never going to, because that problem was way bigger than you. So you need something way bigger than you to fight it. And then just surrendering that. But that's tough. It's tough for people to do. And I get that wholeheartedly. I truly do. So, I do a lot of alone time. Just a lot of alone time. Like, it would freak people out. Because you have the opportunity to be in your head 95% of the time, all the time. I'm probably alone 90 to 95% of the time. I mean, with Zen, but no other humans. And Zen does this thing where he looks at me and it's, where are we going? Total question, give him an answer, nods, licks me. It's late, we're not there yet, lays his head down, like total communication. But there'll be time where I'm going to run like 3 errands, get in the car, run a different errand, get in the car. And if I go to, you know, get in the car, start it up, he's staring at me and I don't want him staring at me, it's a thing. And I go in here. Now, if he doesn't recognize that or go, oh, that's not a place that I'm happy about, 5 seconds later, he'd be looking at me. And so this one day, I was like, Zen, you just got to stop asking me. I told you, this is where we're going. You don't know where that is, okay? I'm not going to keep answering it because you don't know what the answer is. He kind of lays his head down. And, you know, my voice got a little high. I'm a passionate guy. And it was later that day. And I got to the river, one of these places. So we got back in the car. And this is what I like. Like, there's part of me going, dude, you got a problem. Then there's part of me going, okay, look, Zen's the most peaceful, loving, wonderful dog in the world. Maybe he's trying to teach me something. Inadvertently. How about if you answer him every time he asks without getting upset, without raising your voice, without getting a little frustrated, without making him feel bad? Because he's super sensitive like I am. we just happened to kind of get in the car, and I'm hugging him, a little place in between the seat where he sits. And I said, Zen, we're going to go home. We're going to Zen's house. And in 5 or 10 minutes, or 30 seconds, if you ask again, I'll answer it. But I just want you to know, we're going home. And no matter how many times you ask me on the way home, we're going home. Now, you know, we did this, we did that, but I just want you to know that no matter how many times you ask me, we're going to go home. So that's where we're going. And I started driving. I was like, how easy was that, Tom? How much better was that, Tom? Zen never asked me again all the way home. And I'm like, come on. These things are in your life to learn from, but if you're not in that place to recognize it, you're not. I'm stopping, pausing. Hey, that person aggravated you. You know, people are put in your life to show you that you're not completely in control of your emotions. So I should be thankful for that moment. The fact that I'm thinking about that, I'm winning. The fact that I stopped and had a conversation with my dog and figured out that he was again there to teach me. Way to go, Tom. And there's just these moments, and they're with Zen. And I'm not an LOL guy, laugh out loud, but I will laugh out loud. And it is always because of something dumb I'm done or doing. Like, I'm with Zen, and he's a certain, and in this moment, just I'm like, what am I? And I'm like, okay, again, you're catching everything, but you're chuckling. You're laughing at yourself because how flawed you are. You know how huge that is? Like, that's the most growth in the world. When you can see your flaws and you can laugh at them and get a kick out of them. Like, yeah, that's something I'm working on. It doesn't own you. It's not your identity. That's power. All right, so last thing also involves Zen. I'm not a cook. I don't like cooking. I got a little kitchen, and I got this big hunk of wood on my stove. You know, it's decorated like in a certain way. You walk in, and the party's like, this isn't a kitchen. It's like, yeah, not used as a real kitchen. Because there are, you know, I spent a little time trying to learn how to cook from a friend, and there's a couple things I made. But what I like doing was prepping. Like, if I went to someone's house, they're like, I'm cooking. I'm like, okay, let me chop the vegetables. Let me, you know, any type of prepping. That would be my contribution. I'm organized, I'm clean, I'm good at it. You know, you want me to cut up something, they'll all be the same size. And, you know, I like prepping. So it's like if I look at my food and my eating, I go, well, I just prep food. You know, I just put things together. Like, I buy cooked chicken, I pull it out, I throw barbecue sauce in it, I heat it up, I pull it out, I put it on, you know, flatbread, and I eat it. That's not cooking. This is like preparing food. So I realized that I was kind of doing more for Zen, you know, and his food. So it was like, got food, and it was like, add this glucosamine for his joints. So then I pour the glucosamine on, and I got this Stella and Chewy's additive stuff. It's like taste, but it's all good stuff. So then I sprinkle that on there. Well, I'm always, you know, talking to dog people, and someone said olive oil for their skin, and you know, Zen's always got itchy fur. So I'm like, okay, so if I go to the morning meal, I go to the glucosamine on his kibble dog food, and then I add the Stella and Chewy's chicken additive taste stuff on top of that. Then in the afternoon, I add the olive oil to his food, and then the Stella and blah blah blah. So it's getting to the point where I'm going to cut out chicken, because like every dog's allergic to chicken. Everybody I talk to is like, he's probably allergic to chicken. Zen eats chicken. And one of his main things was chicken and rice. The same chicken I bought, I would make my barbecued sandwich, and I would put his on rice. And I bought a rice cooker a while ago. It was so funny because I thought you just turned on a rice cooker and it made the rice. But you got to stay there and stir and monitor that stuff. But I'm actually at the point now where I'm actually getting good at it. None of it sticks or gets stuck. And I'm like, wow, I'm actually doing pretty good at it. So I was talking to the same person, Andrea, that I mentioned before. who was the owner of Rio that passed away, and she's always had good dog advice. And she told me about the glucosamine. So I was like, you know, we were talking about the chicken thing. And she's like, just, you know, take out, you know, that and add, you know, this and that. We were going back and forth. And she's like, you know, if I go, I would see people give a dog a raw egg, like with the shell, and they would eat the shell and everything else. And she's like, well, I never did that. But she goes, you know, I actually would make, you know, real scrambled eggs. She goes, one time my ex-boyfriend woke up and goes, wow, it looks good. She goes, it's not for you. And I thought, all right, well, let me try that. So I fry an egg. I, you know, kind of slice it up. I put that on rice. Zen loves it. I'm like, because I was like, dude, taking chicken. This guy loves chicken. What am I going to do without chicken? Da, 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 da. And again, don't worry about it. He'll be fine. So he loves it. So the next day I go, okay, I'm going to make him the egg. And I go, Zen, come on in the kitchen. So he comes in the kitchen. I go, go ahead, lay down. I go, well, let me see. So I kind of crack this egg, you know, raw egg, but I leave it in the shell. And he's just looking at it. But it starts leaking. He starts licking it. I'm like, all right. So I crack it open more, and he's licking, 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 but nothing out of the shell. Gets it, all of it. Like I crack it, so it's all out, and the shell kind of thing sitting there. And he's not, and I'm like, let me just take the shell out. So I take the shell out. So I'm like, okay. So he finishes eating that, and I'm almost done with his egg. And I take the egg out, and I, you know, let it cool down, put it over the rice, and I cut it out, and then I set that down. So I was like, well, I don't cook. I just prep food. And I'm like, now I got to make Zen rice. And then I make Zen an egg. And then while I'm making that, I give him a raw egg. But I love this story, though. Do you know where my time and energy is going? I love Zen more than anything in the world. End of story. More than anything in the world. And I'm smiling because I'm like, well, here's a raw egg in a bowl. You can sit there while I make you another fried egg. And I'm going to make rice so I can put the fried egg on the rice. And then I can give you that and you'll eat it in 30 seconds. And I do all that, which is way more than I do for me. And I love that. So I'm thinking about someone else. Not in my head. Not stuck in my head, in control of the space between my ears, where I can just focus on him. What does he need? What does he want? How is he doing? What does he want? And it was such a cool little thing when I invited him in. Now it's like 3 days in a row. I go, come on. And he lays down, put a bowl, crack open the egg and give him that. And he licks it and he sits there and chills. And I finish the egg, and it cools off pretty quick. And if I didn't just cook the rice, like I've got some refrigerated, and I put it over, I give it to him right away, and my heart is full. I'm 55, and I'm telling you, that's my life, that's my intention, that's my focus, and I would not trade it alone 99% of the time, 90 to 95% of the time. Living in those moments, making sure that my dog is fulfilled. And my cup runneth over. Come to my well by the water I sell. That's what I'm selling. And remember, it's free. You are worth it. Your pro you moment. As always, stoked you're here. Let us begin to do that which we can control. Alright, find ourselves a spot on the floor. Cross our legs if you can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. Everything else is relaxed. You're present, you're here. Draw the inhale through the nose, exhale out the mouth, elongate them, slow them down, Yes, you will need to stay connected. You will need to stay focused on your breath. But that is exactly the thing that will keep you distracted from everything else. And you will do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. If anything enters your mind, ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo, congratulations, another successful Pro You moment. You know, I just felt this little chuckle when I said that. It's little things done consistently. There it was, like that's it. You don't get graded, you just check the box. Seconds. It's not going to change your life. It's not going to change the direction of your life. But it will definitely change how you feel. And if you do that consistently, you will change the direction of your life. That direction follows the Pro You path, which is a path of self-discovery. What you discover is not always fun. It's not always comfortable. But that's what learning and growing is. Facing and embracing the discomfort of self-discovery. What do I need to eliminate? What do I need to focus on? What do I need to get better at? What do I need to let go of? That's not fun. But you're so worth it. I mean, a pandemic affecting the world, and I'm doing this little itty bitty podcast. I'm going, you don't have to worry about me. I'm good. There's value in that. Come to my well by the water I sell. I started that pro-you path to self-discovery and found out some stuff and worked on me and grew and kept going. And here I am, chilling like a villain in June 2020. And all I want is the same for you. Peace and God bless.